Well, good morning, everyone. I got to tell you, I did something different for this service than I did for the last service. As you know, I open up my sermons usually with a little bit of humor that applies to the topic, and I did that for the last service. But I was inspired this morning when I was watching the news before I came into the church, and they were telling dad jokes because it's Father's Day, right? And everybody knows what a dad joke is, little one-liner. So I decided between services, I went to Google, and I found some Bible dad jokes. So I'm going to tell you a few. These are really bad. But here we go. Which famous Bible character had no parents? Joseph, son of Nun. I told you they were really bad. What kind of person was Boaz before he got married? Ruthless. Get it? Ruth. All right. I've told this one before. Who was the smallest person in the Bible? Nehemiah. Yeah, that's right. Why did Jesus stand at the door and knock? Because Peter had the keys. There's no theology in this at all either. Did all the animals on the ark come in pairs? No. Some of the worms came in apples. Finally, I promise, at what time of the day was Adam created? A little before Eve. All right. Speaking of Adam and Eve... Last week we talked about Eden and the perfect place that Adam and Eve had before the fall. We talked about how through the ages God is still calling us to himself. He gave the ultimate call to us by actually coming to us in person and offers an invitation. And even though much of that perfection in the beginning was lost, we still have hope and belonging, and we can even enjoy what he has given us. And God still cries out to all of us, where are you? God wants to be a part of our lives. We also see that in our gospel today, Mark 4 contains what is called the parable of the seeds. The whole chapter is a parable of different parables about seeds. Jesus uses seeds to express certain points that he wants the listeners to really grasp. He started out talking about the sower of the seeds. We've heard that parable. Some of the seeds were sown on good land and rocky roads and the road. But at the beginning of this parable and in others, Jesus says this, the kingdom of God is like. And that's where I want to focus at today. What is the kingdom of God? What is it that Jesus is referring to here and in other places? Jesus talks about it a lot, and it's an important issue that he wants us to understand. Most of the time, we might want to think of the kingdom of God as heaven and an eternal resting place. And the kingdom of God is certainly a place that we look forward to in that. It is a place promised to those who have received Christ, a place of eternity. But there really is more than just what we look forward to in heaven. As we established last week, God put into place a wonderful experience with his creation. He set everything into its course and had provided for every need. He had established a kingdom on earth. And even though that trust was broken through sin, God was not finished with mankind. He didn't give up on us. He will provide a way. In Ezekiel chapter 17, God told Ezekiel to give a riddle and a parable. The first part of this parable speaks to the misguided kings of Israel. And everything that he spoke about in that first part of the parable about the kings actually came true, if you look up what happened after that. And then God speaks what we heard today. He said, "Thus says the Lord God, I myself will take a sprig from the lofty top of the cedar and will set it out. I will break off from the topmost of its young twigs a tender one, and I myself will plant it on a high, lofty mountain. On the mountain height of Israel will I plant it, that it may bear branches and produce fruit and become a noble cedar." God is revealing to Israel this wonderful thing that he is going to do. The cedar refers to the line of David in the Old Testament, and out of the line of David will come a shoot, a planting, the Messiah. He will come, and he did come in the person of Jesus. And then Ezekiel goes on to say, "And under it will dwell every kind of bird, in the shade of its branches, birds of every sort will nest, and all the trees of the field shall know that I am the Lord. I bring low the high tree, I make high the low tree, dry up the green tree, and make the dry tree flourish. I am the Lord, I have spoken, and I will do it. Period. In other words, when Christ returns, he will reestablish his kingdom on earth, and all who thought they had the way will be made low. But that sprout that he planted will be made high. That is the kingdom yet to come. What a glorious day that will be, when all pain and suffering will be no more, when God will reestablish his reign forever on earth. But what about right now? When Jesus stepped out of heaven and came to us, he offered an opportunity for us to be made right with God, an atonement. But that is not the end. When Jesus broke into this present age, he came with a message. And when John the Baptist made his announcement of the Messiah, he said this, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." And Jesus repeated that cry at the beginning of his ministry. In Matthew 4, we read, from that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." He taught that to his disciples and us, that we must grow in him, to spread his word. Some of the messages that Jesus gave were in the form of parables that go to the heart of his mission. Today we heard two of those parables that pertain to the seeds. The first refers to the mystery of the seed. You have this tiny thing. Left in the open, it does nothing. It sits by itself, just sitting there. Even watering it, nothing happens. It does nothing. But once it is planted in the earth, something happens. I've watched this with our son-in-law and daughter's dairy farm. They have this massive amount of land. And our son-in-law goes out and plants the crops that will turn into feed for their dairy cows. This is on their farm up in New York. Fields and fields of alfalfa and hay and corn. And there is a science involved in all of that. There's a preparation. But after the planting, there comes a time when you just have to wait. The seed is in the ground, but there is nothing you can do to make that seed do what it needs to do. All you can do is plant it and water it, and then all you can do is wait. Now that's one of the ladies that makes your Philadelphia cream cheese. I just threw that in there. just so you can see what your Philadelphia cream cheese comes from, part of it. Anyway, but when God came to us in human form, there was nothing man can do. Man couldn't stop God from what he wanted to do. You can receive that or reject it, but he came whether some like that or not. He came to plant a seed of salvation. He came to perform miracles. He came to give us the very word of God in the flesh. He came and spoke directly to the heart of mankind, the field. Jesus came to sow seed. And the kingdom of God transcended heaven and came into our midst, into this present age. That is the age that we live in. As Jesus said, the harvest is ready. Others have sown. It is time to reap. The disciples will have this wonderful opportunity to take part in carrying out what the Old Testament prophets have foretold. What John the Baptist had prepared the way for, and what Jesus has done and will do, as he tells them in this parable. The initial seed is planted. Their task will be to pray and to seek God's direction. And by that direction and leading of the Holy Spirit, they did just that. They prayed, they listened, and God used them mightily. And look what happened. Unbelievable doors were opened to them. They grew in their faith. They preached, they taught, they shared their faith, and by the Holy Spirit, they threw out more seed into the field. And God made it grow in the hearts of those who heard it. The church grew. The kingdom of God began to grow in them. Jesus speaks of that kingdom growth in the next parable that he mentioned. Jesus said, "What can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which has been sown into the ground, and the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger of all the garden plants and puts out large branches." And then listen to the similarities of Ezekiel's prophecy, "so that the birds of the air can make nests in their shade." The ground that the seed is planted is the heart of mankind. And the Holy Spirit moves in that heart, and it grows. We become stronger and stronger in the Lord. The work that he gives the church continues to spread. We are here today as a result of that seed that was planted 2,000 plus years ago. And here is the great news for us. Jesus opened the doors of the kingdom to us as well. We now have direct access to his kingdom by his Spirit through what Jesus has done for us. We have available to us all that we need to do his bidding here and now. When Jesus was asked, "Teach us to pray," part of that prayer that he taught was this, and we've heard this many times, "Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven." That literally means in the Greek, "Come your kingdom, be done your will." In other words, Lord, allow your presence here and now to be accomplished in, as we prepare for what is yet to come, his return and his reign. There's a story told of a man who was taking a walk down a country road when he came across a stone quarry and a number of men who were working. He questioned three of them about what they were doing. And the first man was a little irritated and said, "Can't you see? I'm cutting stone." The second man answered without looking up, "I'm earning $400 a week." But then this came to question to the third man, and he stopped and put down his pick, and he stood up proudly, and he says, "I'm building a cathedral." The first man cannot see beyond his pick. The second man cannot see beyond his paycheck. But the third man looked beyond the tools and his wages and to the ultimate of what he was serving. He was working with the architect. He was looking at the big picture. In a sense, we here and now are preparing for the return of Christ. That is the big picture. And until that time comes, we, the body of Christ, are working with the architect. That is God himself through his Spirit. What we do here and now prepares others and others beyond them and maybe even others beyond them for that great day. As we grow, we begin to plant seeds by God working through us. Going back to the farm, as you know, every year we go up and visit our daughter and family. And in the time of the year that we go up, the fields have been planted, as you saw, and The corn is up, but it's not ready for harvest. That's not until September, October. There's a special tradition that I have developed with my son-in-law. Just before we leave, he always asks us to go out and pray for his crops. He knows he has done all that he can do. It is God that makes it grow. And as we do every year, we do that, and he says we have a wonderful yield every time we pray for the crops. Paul reminds us that we walk by faith, not by sight. That means despite what the world says that may try to sway us from the truth, despite what hardships come our way in getting to that goal, our faith is always based on the hope that we have in Christ. His kingdom is here and now. His kingdom is being restored in and through Jesus Christ by his Spirit. We are a new creation, Paul says. The old is passed away and the new is begun. God has given us so much. Let us use it to his glory. Let us grow in our faith. Let us rejoice in knowing him and allow his Spirit to shine through us. Allow his kingdom to be seen and known through you. And I urge you above all else, pray for the harvest, that it may come forth as Jesus has planned it to. May we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your life-giving Spirit that changes hearts, Lord God, that as we share with others, as we are the example to others, may hearts be planted with those seeds that only you can bring and that only you can make grow. So, Father, we ask that you would use each and every person in this place to your glory, as your kingdom is here, as it always has been. And we just ask, Lord God, in this sinful world that we live in, that we would be able to reach out to others who are looking for that same answer, that your kingdom would come in their lives as well, that only you can fulfill. So, Father, we ask that you would just use every single one of us. Encourage us, use us. We pray, Father, that you would just move mightily, as I've always said, throughout this whole community in our nation, and indeed around the world, to your glory. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.